May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another Cuke audio podcast. I'm DC Pooba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable, free from economic hardship, and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. So today I'm going to play you the complete audio clip from the lecture Shunyu Suzuki gave on July 22nd, 1965 in Los Altos, minus some at the end, which I'm not sure he recorded. It was recorded at the same time. It's totally on another subject. He's talking about posture, and he's using words like you stand like this, and you put this here, and it needs to be worked on to make sense listening. I've heard him talk about this, so I know what some of it is. But this talk is complete ending where we ended and not going into that. And that's just sort of confusing if, you know, it doesn't have some explanation. So this is entitled Wisdom Seeking Wisdom, or Wisdom Seeks Wisdom. If you want to follow along in with the transcript, just go to shunyusuzuki.com, the lecture search form, and in the keywords box, write 65-07-22, and then Wisdom Seeks Wisdom will come up. Click on it and read the verbatim transcript or whatever. Yeah, it is verbatim transcript. Here we go. I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to play you the slightly edited audio of Shunyu Suzuki giving this talk. We are studying now the Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch in the evening lecture, and Prajna. This is, of course, a Sanskrit word. Now, what we mean is wisdom, but this wisdom is not intellect or knowledge. This wisdom, intellect, so-called, our inmost nature, which is always incessant activity. Zazen practice is wisdom seeking for wisdom. Now, that's Zazen practice. If I use a technical term, wisdom seeks wisdom in Zazen practice, and our everyday life is wisdom. Realization of our precepts is our everyday life. When our everyday life is based on wisdom, we call it precepts. When we sit, we do not do anything. We just sit. There's no activity of our mind. We just sit. And all that we do is inhaling and exhaling. Sometimes you will hear some birds singing, but that is not actually you hearing. Your ears will hear it. You are not hearing it. Just the sound comes and makes some response to it. That's all. This kind of practice is called wisdom, seeks for wisdom. We have true nature. Whatever you do, even though you do not do anything, your true nature is in incessant work activity. Even though you are sleeping, it is quite active. Your thinking or your sensation are superficial activity of yourself. But the inmost nature is always working. Even though you die, it is working. I don't mean some soul, but something, not soul, but something is always in incessant work. Whatever you call it, spirit or soul, I don't know. You can put many names on it, or you will give it various interpretations. But these interpretations belong to your intellectuality. That's intellect. So whatever you call it, inmost nature itself doesn't mind. Someone may call it soul. Someone may call it spirit. Someone may say, oh, no, that's just material. Some kind of function of material is soul, maybe. According to people, they will put many names on it. But our inmost nature is our inmost nature. It is, all that has quite little to do with our inmost nature. When we sit, we call it inmost. We let inmost nature in itself our activity. We call self-use of inmost nature. Let it work. You don't do anything, but let our true nature work by itself. This is true practice. Of course, even though you do not do anything, you will have pain in your legs or some difficulty to keep your mind calm. And sometimes you may think, oh, my zazen is not so good. That is also the activity of inmost nature. Not your activity, but the activity of your true nature. Your true nature says, your zazen is not so good. And if it says so, you should accept it. Oh, not so good. What are you thinking? Stop thinking. Okay? This is Zen. You know, when you do something, it is a kind of morality. It's because you do something by your choice, you know. But when you make a decision to do something, your inmost nature will tell you, this will not be so good. Why don't you do it this way? And that is precepts. When we have some choice in our activity, in zazen, we have no choice. We just sit, and whatever inmost nature says, let it do it. I don't mind. That is zazen. But when you have some plan, you are responsible for it too. And at that time, you should listen to what your inmost nature says. That is morality or precepts. Our inmost nature will tell you what to do. So if you understand this way, this is morality or this is precepts. So the precepts actually are not only 2 or 250 or 500 for females. We have 500 precepts, and for males, 250. That is not so fair. But anyway, 500 or 300, it doesn't matter. Whatever we do is precepts because we have some choice. We have to make some decision. I am not responsible for it. What should I do? When we make some decision, we listen to Buddha nature. What should I do? That's all. So here you have in your everyday life, you have precepts and you have freedom too. Whatever you do, that is up to you. As long as you have freedom, you yourself make some decision. So you should be responsible for that. You should not say that Buddha should be responsible for it. I don't mind. I'm not responsible for that. You can't say so in your everyday life. So in your everyday life, we should have precepts. We should observe the precepts instead of leaving the responsibility to Buddha. We should be responsible for that. But at the same time, you have freedom. There is no need for you to be bound by precepts. Precepts are formulated by our own choice. As long as you take conscious activity, there is freedom. And at the same time, you should be responsible for that. This is true freedom. To leave all the responsibility to Buddha is not freedom. I don't mind, somebody may say, whatever you do is Buddha nature. It doesn't matter what I do. This is a misunderstanding. But morality without Buddha nature is just a moral code, and you will be enslaved by a moral code. That is a rigid moral code in which you will be enslaved, by which you will be enslaved. But if you become aware of Buddha nature, innate nature, that is freedom. That is not rigid precepts. You do it by your own choice, and you do it by your true nature, according to your true nature. So that is complete freedom, and that is also morality. So in this sense, you have freedom. You are not enslaved by Buddha nature, by a moral code. And the moral code is not always the same. It is permanent. Strictly speaking, there is a moral code whatever you do. So we say Zen and precepts are one. In everyday life, we call it precepts. And in practice of Zazen, we call it Zen. So Zen in everyday life should be based on, should be the self-use of our true nature. So in this sense, precepts and Zen are not different. They're one. This is a very important point. And we bow this morning 9 times. Why we bow to Buddhism? It's actually a kind of practice to get rid of our self-centered idea, to give ourselves completely to Buddha. Here I mean to give myself or ourselves means our physical function and our intellectual function, our life, physical and intellectual life to Buddha because it is based on Buddha nature. So even though we forget all about it, still we have Buddha nature here. So Buddha bows to Buddha. That's a bow. This is one meaning. Another meaning is, well, as long as we live, we have a body here and we have to think of something. So Buddha practiced Zen. And we practice Zen. So when we practice Zen, they call it Buddha. And Buddha mind or Bodhisattva mind is a spirit. To attain oneness in duality is, in short, our spirit. Because we're not so good, we try to improve ourselves. That is our true nature. And we are aware of it. We have some intention to improve ourselves. This intention is limited to human beings. Flowers come up. A flower may come out in spring without fail, but they don't make any effort. They automatically come out. That's all. We try to open our flower in spring. We try to do the right thing at the right time. But we find it very difficult in this sense. We are very stupid. Even though we try to do it, we cannot make it. But this is our human nature. We always try to do something. We have always some difficulty in doing something. But this point is very important for us. That's why we have the pleasure of being a human being, because it is difficult. And we are always making some effort. Some effort results are in our human pleasure of life, our pleasure of human life. This pleasure is limited to human beings, and this is called our true nature. But if you understand this true nature, you will find out the true nature within yourself and in every existence. A flower has this nature. Even though it is cold, they are preparing for spring, even though they do not know they are making good effort to come up in spring. So when we become aware of it, we will know that this nature we have is a universal nature to every existence. But this awareness of true nature is limited to human beings. So this awareness is very important. And this awareness is, in short, to try to do something good is our spirit. We don't know why we should try to improve ourselves. No one knows. There's no reason for it. It's beyond discussion. Even though you cannot discuss why it is, the nature is, our true nature is so big, it is out of comparison, out of our intellectual understanding. So it makes no sense, even though you discuss it. What are you talking about? Those who are aware of it will laugh at you if you discuss about it with about why why it is so big problem to discuss. This is why we bow to Buddha. We're going to play the audio now. I just want to say a couple of quick things. When he says there's 250 precepts for men, 500 for women, I will repeat. He's talking about the original Theravadin precepts or whatever they were, the original, the oldest precepts. There were not 500 for women. I don't think it was about 360 or something. But that is not, when he says we have, he just means in our history we have. I wonder what they all are. I've never really looked. and I know Vipassana monks. My best foreign friend in Bali is a Theravadin monk from America, studied in Burma, Monaya. He's really into precepts, but just particular ones. I mean, he's not going on and on, just a few things. That's why I hear him talk about it. If you were reading the transcript, you might have noticed at the end there, he says it makes any sense. He clearly means to say it doesn't make any sense. And he'd stumble over phrases like that, especially if negatives were involved, because they use negatives differently in Japanese. They have double negatives. So they'd say it doesn't make no sense. So he took them both out. He probably might have thought, oh, yeah, we don't do that. And so instead of taking out one, he took out two. His mind might have done something like that. It would really be good if I read a light edit of this, I think, rather, I don't know, or a very light edit. I mean, I do edit it some when I'm reading, but then I stumble over myself and I go back and I go, wait a minute. I mean, and I've read this stuff before. I've recorded it before. But, he's searching for the way to say some things and it needs some work to make it clear. So let's hear how Shunyu Suzuki says all that.
We are studying now the sutra of the six petal in the evening lecture. And Prajna, this is of course Sanskrit word, we mean it's wisdom. But this wisdom is not intellect or knowledge. This intellect, wisdom is so-called our inmost nature, which is always in incessant activity. Wisdom, seeking for wisdom, it doesn't practice. If I use technical term, wisdom seeks wisdom, it doesn't practice. And our everyday life, it's wisdom, realization of precepts, it's our everyday life. When our everyday life is based on wisdom, we call it precepts. When we sit, we do not do anything, we just sit. And there's no activity of our mind. we just sit and all what we do is taking, inhaling and exhaling. Sometimes you will hear some bird singing, but that is not actually, you are not hearing. Your ears will hear it, but you are not hearing it. Just, you know, sound come and you make some response to it. That's all. This kind of practice is called wisdom seek for wisdom. We have true nature. Whatever you do, even though you do not do anything, your true nature is incessant work, activity. Even though you are sleeping, it is quite active. Your thinking or your sensation are superficial activity of yourself. But inmost nature is always working. Even you, though you die, it is working. I don't mean some, soul, but something. Not soul, but something is always in incessant work. Whatever you call it, spirit or soul, I don't mind. You can put many names to it. Or you will give it various interpretation to it. But that interpretation belongs to in your intellectuality. That is intellect. So whatever you call it, inmost nature itself doesn't mind. Someone may call it soul, someone may call it spirit, someone may say, oh, no, that's just material. Some kind of function of material is soul. Maybe, according to the people, they will put many names on it, to it. But our inmost nature is our inmost nature. It is quite little to do with our inmost nature. When we sit, we call it inmost. Let inmost nature in its self activity. This is we call self use of inmost nature. Let it work. You don't do anything, but let our true nature work by itself. This is Zen practice. Of course, even though you do not do anything, you will have pain on your legs or some difficulty to keep your mind calm. And sometimes you may think, oh, my zazen is not so good. And that is also the activity of the inmost nature, you know. Not your activity, but the activity of your true nature. Your true nature says, your zazen is not so good. If he says so, you should accept it. Oh, not so good. What are you thinking? Stop thinking. Oh. Okay. This is Zen. No. When you do something, you know, it is a kind of morality. It is in it. It is because you do something by your choice, you know. But when you make decision to do something, your inmost nature will tell you that will not be so good. Why don't you do it this way? That is precepts, you know. When we have some choice in our activity, in Zazen we have no choice. We just sit. And whatever inmost nature say, let it do it. I don't mind. This is Zazen. But when you make some plan, you are responsible for it too. And at that time, you should listen to what your inmost nature will say. That is morality or precepts. Our inmost nature will tell you what to do. So if you understand this way, this is morality or this is precepts. So the precepts actually is not only 2 or 250 or 500. For female, we have 500 precepts. And for male, 250. That is not so fair. But anyway, 500 or 300, it doesn't matter. Whatever we do is precepts. Because we have some choice. We have to make some decision. I am responsible for it, what I should do. And when we make some decision, we listen to Buddha nature. What should I do? That's all. So, here you have, in your everyday life, you have precepts. And you have freedom too. Whatever you do, that is up to you. As long as you have freedom, you yourself make some decision. So you should be responsible for that. You should not say that it's Buddha should be responsible for it. I don't mind. I'm not responsible for that. You cannot say so in your everyday life. So in our everyday life, we should have precepts. We should observe the precepts instead of leaving responsibility for Buddha. We should be responsible for that. But at the same time, you have freedom. There's no need for you to be bound by precepts. Precepts is formulated by your own choice. As long as you take conscious activity, there is freedom. And at the same time, you should be responsible for that. This is freedom, true freedom, to leave all the responsibility to Buddha is not freedom. I don't mind. Someone may say, whatever you do, that is Buddha nature. So it doesn't matter whatever you do. This is misunderstanding. But the morality without Buddha nature is just moral code. And you will be enslaved by moral code. That is rigid moral code by which you will be enslaved. But if you become aware of Buddha nature, innately, that is freedom. That is not rigid precept. You do it by your own choice, and you do it by your true nature, according to your true nature. So that is complete freedom. And that is also morality. So in this sense, you have freedom. You are not enslaved by Buddha nature, by moral code. And moral code is not always same. It is not permanent. Strictly speaking, there is moral code. Whatever you do. So we say, Zen and precept is one. In everyday life, we call it precepts. And in practice of Zazen, we call it Zen. So Zen and everyday life should be based on, should be the self-use of our true nature. So in this sense, precepts and Zen is not different one. This is very important point. And we bow this morning 9 times. Why we bow to Buddha? It is actually a kind of practice to get rid of our self-centered idea, to give ourselves completely to Buddha. Here I mean to give myself or ourselves means our physical function and our intellectual function or life. Physical and intellectual life to Buddha, because it is based on Buddha nature. So even though we forget all about it, still we have Buddha nature here. So Buddha bow to Buddha, that is bow. This is one meaning. The another meaning is, as long as we live, we have body here. And we have to think something. So, Buddha practiced Zen, and we practice Zen. So, everyone, when he practiced Zen, they are called Buddha. And Buddha mind or Bodhisattva mind is a spirit to attain oneness in duality. It's, in short, our spirit. Because we are not so good, try to improve ourselves. That is our true nature. and we are aware of it, we have some intention to improve ourselves. This intention is limited to a human being. A flower may come out in spring without fire, but they do not, you know, make any effort. They automatically come out. That's all. We try to open, you know, our flower in spring. You know, we try to do right things at right time, but we find it very difficult. In this sense, we are very stupid. Even though we try to do it, we cannot make it. But this is our human nature. We always try to do something. We have always some difficulty to do something. But this point is very important for us. That is why we have pleasure of human being, because it is difficult and we are always making some effort. That effort results our pleasure of human life. This pleasure is limited to human being, and this is called our true nature. But if you understand this true nature, you will find out the true nature within yourself and in every existence, for our hearts, this nature. Even though it is cold, they are preparing for spring. Even though they do not know they are making good effort to come up in spring. When we become aware of it, we will know that this nature we have is universal nature to every existence. But this awareness of true nature is limited to human beings. So this awareness is very important. And this awareness is, in short, to try to do something good. It's our spirit. We don't know why we should try to try to improve ourselves. No one knows. There's no reason for it. It is beyond discussion. Even though you cannot discuss why, our true nature is so big. It is out of comparison, out of our intellectual understanding. So it makes any sense even though you discuss it. What are you talking about? Those who are aware of it will laugh at you if you discuss about it, good or bad. Why? Why it is so, it's so big problem to discuss. This is why we bow to Buddha.
This has been a Cuke Audio podcast. I'm D.C. Puba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sonora with Dogged Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.